So we have Sarah Jacoby, who's a doctoral candidate at the University of Pennsylvania in the School of Nursing. She earned an MPH from the Mailman School of Public Health at Columbia and an MSN from the University of Pennsylvania. Sarah's research interests are centered on the underlying mechanisms and structures that perpetuate inequities in injury prevention and outcomes for populations living in the United States and globally.
Thanks for the introduction. I'm pleased to be here on behalf of a research team that includes Dr. Therese Richmond from the University of Pennsylvania School of Nursing and Flora Winston, who's at the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine and the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. And it's a little bit different. I'm going to talk a little bit about what we learned about how employees of a multinational corporation working in India understand the challenges in navigating their road traffic environment. I have no relationships to disclose, and I'd like to acknowledge that funding for this research was made available through the National Science Foundation, Global Venture Fund, and Center for Child Injury Prevention Studies. So just to give a little bit of background as to why we're looking at this topic, this was a small part of a larger corporate academic partnership to try to think about how can multinational corporations with hundreds of thousands of employees throughout the world implement global but evidence-based road safety interventions. Using the exemplar, or using a starting point of looking at India, where this particular multinational corporation that we were working with has near to a quarter of their workforce, over 100,000 employees. And India is one of the countries in the world with the highest road traffic crash rates, fatalities, and has a, especially in urban centers, is complicated by rapid development, particularly from the influx of industries like technology industries. So we saw it as an opportunity, if we could implement good worksite-based road safety interventions, it might imbue community-wide benefit. So we arranged to travel to some sites in India to understand how Indian employees of this particular multinational corporation understand their road traffic environment, their daily road use experiences, exposures to road traffic injuries, and the strategies that would be acceptable to them and in the workplace to enhance their own road safety and the road safety of their families. So we conducted 6 focus groups at corporate offices in the cities of Bangalore and Pune. Bangalore is, I think, the fourth largest city in India. It's also the technology hub of India. Pune is a smaller city located about 3 hours drive from Mumbai and is a burgeoning site of technology development. So we conducted 6 focus groups, 3 in each city, at different offices. And we were helped by the health service department of the corporation that we're working with to recruit through email any employee that wanted to participate as long as they were over the age of 18 and capable of participating in a focus group that was conducted in English. We did administer a short knowledge, attitudes, and practice survey prior to the focus group just to get a sense of some anonymous behaviors that the employees that were focusing in the that were participating in the focus group claimed to participate in. So we ended up with a sample of about 75 employees across the 6 focus groups. They were predominantly male employees between the ages of 26 and 40, and that was sort of resonant with the population of the employees of this corporation in India. They worked in management, software development, and business support services. The participants, 91% of participants owned their own vehicle, and in fact, near to 50% owned both a 4-wheel and 2-wheel vehicle in their and used them for personal road use. And we took focus group data, was collected using a semi-structured focus group interview guide. We had conversations that lasted from an hour and a half to 2 hours. And we generally spoke in each focus group about the same themes, the road perceptions of the road traffic environment, road use experiences, experiences with injuries, and strategies that the employees believed would improve their road safety. And we took the focus group data, and 2 independent coders looked at the data, generated codes, and then together organized them into salient categories and themes. We just used SPSS to look at the the little bit of survey data that we had collected. So just a really briefly, just to highlight some of the what came out in our Knowledge, Attitudes, and Practice survey, respondents or the participants in our focus group claim to at least some of the time speed, break traffic rules, and use a mobile phone either for texting or speaking on us at least some of the time. However, in terms of pro-safety behaviors, most claim to always or often wear a seatbelt and always or often use a helmet when driving a two-wheel vehicle, but did not insist that passengers would use a seatbelt in their vehicles, and would rarely, so being a pillion as being a passenger on a two-wheel vehicle, would rarely use a helmet if they were the passenger. And that's sort of concordant with at least the state laws in Karnataka and Maharashtra where we were, which basically the law enforced that the driver of a two-wheel vehicle would have to wear a helmet, but the passenger would not have to. So in terms of how the employees perceived their road environment, there was a lot of different perspective that was generated in the six focus groups, but the salient themes were that the road traffic environment was complex and changing. There was a high vehicular mix, so there was two-wheelers, four-wheelers, larger vehicles, and even smaller animal-drawn vehicles commingling on a road without clearly delineated lane structures and with very different speed capacities, which made it very difficult to navigate roads and increase the crush of traffic, essentially. And that particularly in the cities we were looking at, infrastructure was insufficient to keep up with development. And that there was inconsistent and ineffective enforcement of road traffic laws. And in fact, when there was some presence of traffic police, but the police would be easily bribed by a bribe that was nominal to the employees that were to the income level of the employees we were speaking to. So even if you were pulled over, it was fine. You just give 100 rupees and you move on with your day. The employees perceived that there was differential risk by type of vehicle and time of day, with two-wheel vehicles being perceived as the most dangerous and night driving being perceived as the most dangerous. They perceived public transportation options as poor, both from an infrastructure standpoint and from women employees feeling risk for interpersonal violence. Pedestrians were not safe. Most drivers perceived that most other drivers that they were sharing the roadway with were not following traffic laws. And so that overall, road use was dangerous. It was a source of consistent stress in their daily life. Most overwhelmingly, our participants in the focus groups endorsed the importance of helmet use, seatbelt use, and avoidance of intoxication and distraction when driving. But they were very forthcoming about the need to balance safety practices with the practicality of their environment and with cultural norms in the very local environment. So, for example, helmet use for passengers on a two-wheel vehicle was not the norm. And it was difficult, especially in summer, when heat, dust, and rain sort of inhibited visibility if you were wearing a helmet on a two-wheel vehicle. Also, safeguarding child passengers was particularly difficult. The availability and normativeness of child safety restraints was just... It just wasn't widely available, wasn't widely seen. And airbags and anti-lock brakes were considered to be luxury features and only available on high-end luxury cars. Road traffic crashes was a common experience, whether personally experienced or just witnessing road traffic crashes in your daily commute to work. There was the perception that the low speed associated with city traffic was protective against severe injury, and also the perception that if you were on a two-wheel vehicle, you were at risk for higher injury than if you were in a four-wheel vehicle. There was also a sense of disincentive for helping crash victims, such that if you physically intervened, you might be blamed for the causation of the crash in the first place, or you might be then made responsible for the forthcoming medical care. And the idea that in general, in the environment in general, there was a fatalism, a sense of sort of inevitability of being in a crash and perhaps being injured. I think one of the most interesting findings was employees spoke of a tension between the requirement for their employment and the safety practices that they knew and endorsed. So many were employed in call centers that required that they were at their desk or at a phone at a certain time, and they had no ability to predict what the road traffic environment was going to be on their daily commute. So whether there was going to be a crash or there was going to be a tremendous amount of traffic at one point, but they felt this tension to break traffic laws, whether that be through speeding or for driving on sidewalks. In order to make it to work on time to meet the metrics of their employment. And they also spoke of, employer provided transportation that was provided as an option for dealing with traffic in these cities. And it was just discussed in our focus group interviews that the dispatchers of the employer provided transportation would pressure their drivers to speed to make sure that the employees were making it to the office on time. So when we asked employees, so what would be acceptable to you? What would you like to see if we were to implement worksite interventions? Most spoke of the desire to have continued education in road safety. The enforcement of traffic laws on corporate campuses, and some of the corporate campuses I visited were as large as 5 kilometers in diameter, so they're really quite large spaces. And many spoke of using the corporate campus as a place to have exemplar of good road safety practices, such that if you arrived to work and you were on a two-wheel vehicle and you didn't have a helmet, maybe you shouldn't be allowed access to the corporate campus. And in that tone, this might be a feature of sort of the Indian corporate culture. There was employees endorsed that we should acknowledge both positive and negative behaviors, which probably wouldn't happen in corporate environments. You know, in the United States, for example, where we'd have road champions, so employees who always followed road safety rules or did something that was pro-safety, and also public shaming of employees who might arrive to work not wearing their seatbelt or not wearing a helmet. They also spoke of interest in having their employer and other multinational corporations that shared some of the corporate campuses to come together to lobby government for better law enforcement outside of corporate campuses and better development of infrastructure. So just to conclude, I think what we found from our focus groups was that for the employees we spoke to, navigating the road traffic environment was not only complex, but it was something that was exposing employees to a daily source of stress. And participants can identify safety behaviors. It seems that that knowledge of what pro-safety behaviors are was already entrenched, but it was, you know, the environment and norms and local norms sort of dissuaded consistent practice. And so employers can have a key role in improving the road safety of employees and their families, but they have to be thoughtful, and it has to be relevant to the very local and potentially changing complex in which your employees are trying to navigate the roads. So, thank you. No, we did ask, and public transport was seen as poor because it was so sparse that it could take 2 hours to, even if you're the how far you're traveling was rather maybe like 5 kilometers, it could take 2 hours to traverse that space on public transportation. And some of the women actually specifically said that they were worried about interpersonal violence on public transportation options. So that really wasn't something, in these two cities at least, I mean, there's only two cities that we were looking at, that wasn't a viable option for employees, yeah.